number three, Chasing Big Joe, on this Monday, 102.5 The Game. He's Nick Frazier. I'm Chase McCabe. Brandon Bigsby on the ones and twos. Big Joe down in Key West having a good time. We say hello now to John McClain, who joins us from Houston. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Owners meetings going on in Phoenix. You've talked about, you know, attending these before and how much you enjoyed them. What do we truly expect to get accomplished this week?
Not a damn thing, unless you're talking about a rule that you'd be interested in. I remember when instant replay was being bandied about. It was a big year. It was a big decision every year, and everybody was interested in it. They did it originally on a trial basis before they voted it in permanently, and it's been one of the best things that's ever happened to the NFL. But last year at this time, the rules were all about the tush push, and Roger Goodell didn't want it. It barely passed, and now it's not even a consideration. So whatever happened to make everybody change their mind is kind of mind-boggling to me, considering Goodell did not want it last year. Another thing they do, agents are there. Agents are there for each team's still have unsigned players. Agents are there for free agents who still haven't signed, and agents are there for draft choices to gauge interest in their players. The NFL league meetings, which rotate cities, my favorite was Honolulu, Maui. They used to go to Maui every 4 years. It was Maui, Palm Desert, California. Palm Beach, Florida, and Orlando. And then they didn't go to South Florida. They went to Arizona. Arizona is my favorite, the Biltmore in Scottsdale, since they got rid of Maui because owners didn't want to go that far as they got older. The one year it rained every day, so the wives couldn't hang out by the pool, so they decided they wouldn't go back. You know, they have a big party from the league to kick it off. Having the coaches available for interviews is the best thing that teams can have because you haven't been able to get a lot of them at the combine. They just don't do them. So you have to be able to be interviewed during AFC, NFC coaches interviews if you show up. Coaches don't have to show up. And so it's a lot of talking. I remember one time I was playing golf. We got the early tee time in Arizona. We teed off in the dark. We get about 10 o'clock. I go to the media room. I see a guy from Denver. I said, "Did I miss anything?" He said, "No, not really. Pete resigned." I said, "Pete who?" "Pete Rozelle." And I'm like, holy bleep. Thank goodness there was no internet. And I had a chance to catch up with people telling me what happened when he walked in there and shocked everybody and resigned. And that was one of the biggest stories. You know, if you're trying to get Super Bowls, you're lobbying expansion teams, you know, our city's trying to get teams to move there. There's always a lot of BSing going on in the hallways, in the little nooks you can find. And sometimes owners, they're right there with you. They can't get away from you. Sometimes owners will stop and talk. I was amazed. There used to be media. The only time their owner talked all year was at those March meetings, and I felt terrible for them. I've never had a situation like that, including with Bud Adams, who made himself available after every victory. Now, those were few and far between some years, but at least Bud was available.
John McClain is with us here on the program. Do you think we get closer to 18 games after this week?
I don't know. We're going to 18. It's just a matter of when they can get it with the players. You know, they're going to have to give them two bye weeks. The NFL used to start on Labor Day weekend, so ratings were always down. They started in a hole. But now they may believe they transcended Labor Day and they can start that weekend. But I think there's a reason everybody gets that weekend off and the last games are on Thursday. I think they should extend the Super Bowl later into February, because the NFL So what does it matter when they play the Super Bowl? They could play it on opening day of the baseball season, and it wouldn't hurt the NFL. But, boy, if people are riding around the country in their cars, maybe now they could, you know, want them driving and looking at their phones. But the times have certainly changed since they decided not to begin the season on Labor Day. I think it's imperative players have 2 weekends off. I think what I would do with 18 games, I would have everybody start off, play a game in another country, come back, have Labor Day weekend off, and then start playing the next week when people are used to the season starting. There's all kind of possibilities, but no, I don't. If they decide they're going to do it, it'll still be down the road before it's implemented.
John, you mentioned the ratings in the beginning of the season are not the best, and obviously starting off this upcoming season is going to be in Melbourne, Australia for the 49ers. You know, what do you see the outcome of all this when it comes to the ratings?
I think that the NFL at this point, you know, they don't want games played, Nick, when everybody's taken off. They want them around the TVs or around their phones or laptops or however sports bars, however they're going to watch it. And I think, I know I'll be watching in Melbourne. I want to know more about Melbourne and the Melbourne Ticket Club than I care about the teams. One of the reasons I watch them is because all the things that the networks put on about that city, about the stadium, the fans. You know, I know all about the teams. And, yeah, I'll pay attention to the games, but that's not what fascinates me.
Yeah, and also, too, we were talking about product here earlier about the NFL. Right now, the NFL Referees Association trying to negotiate some deals for potential raises. I mean, I don't think NFL fans want to see the product be terrible, but looking at the potential of having interim referees, I feel like that only hurts the league rather than helps it right now.
Well, it does, and everybody's using the last one, the Fail Mary. That was one play out of every play that they had with the replacement officials. But everybody, you know, goes to that one. I didn't realize the officials make they're offering them $350,000. I just read either they're being offered that or they already make it. And I'm trying to find out, where do I apply to become an NFL official? I'm looking at it right here in The Athletic. Says the NFL's offered a 6.45% yearly increase for officials who have been paid an average of $350,000 per season. And I'm thinking, they're asking for a 10% raise? My goodness, sign me up. 6.45% more of $350,000. I'm in.
Hey, forward that to me as well, John. I'll apply as well.
Yeah, I think, but I'm getting the first job, Nick. You can get the second one.
Sounds good.
There you go. We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe on this Monday on 102.5 The Game. Little new addition bringing us back, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, and continuing with John McClain down in Houston. John, we had 10 new coaches hired this year, some, you know, with their second or third opportunity, and some new hires, as we've talked to you, and obviously Robert Saleh is one of those here with the Titans. When you look at the 10, so Joe Brady with the Bills, Mike LaFleur with the Cardinals, Kevin Stefanski goes to the Falcons, Jesse Minter to the Ravens, Todd Monken to the Browns, Clint Kubiak, who you know very well, to the Raiders, Jeff Hafley goes to the Dolphins, John Harbaugh to the Giants, Mike McCarthy to the Steelers, and then I mentioned Robert Saleh coming here to the Titans. Which of those do you feel has the best opportunity to have the best first year with their new team?
Well, I'm going to say John Harbaugh, because John is the most accomplished a Super Bowl winner. His teams, ever since he's been head coach, have been a Super Bowl contender. They got another premium pick. They got a second-year quarterback they're high on. They got a great pass rush. And the division doesn't look particularly strong. I don't think anybody's going to be picking Philadelphia to go to the Super Bowl. I know they're not going to pick Dallas or Washington. So I would say a team poised to make a big leap, worst to first, I would pick Detroit, because it was almost freakish that they finished last. By the way, I was listening yesterday to a mock draft nationally, and having the Titans taking a pass rusher, and one of the reasons was that Mike Bagonzi came from the Chiefs. So does that mean automatically he's happy with a back in the seventh round, and they did draft they used Kareem Hunt, who's a kid from LSU before him that got hurt.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah,
Edwards-Helaire. But we don't know. Mike Bagonzi wasn't banging on the office door saying, we got to take this running back.
Right.
We don't know. He wasn't just agreeing with everything. And if they hadn't had Patrick Mahomes, one of the greatest coaches, quarterbacks in history, they wouldn't have put so little emphasis on the running back position. And now we're not saying Cam Ward's going to be Patrick Mahomes. And then I'm reading a chart in The Athletic about all the backs taken in the top 10 since 2010. They list 10 of them. I think only one had a winning record. Well, a lot of that is who's drafting them. Terrible teams are drafting them. What about the defensive ends who are picked in the top 10? Did they all of a sudden start winning? As I talked to you guys last week, when the Titans are thinking about David Bailey or Arvell Reese or Reuben Bain, think about Myles Garrett, Max Crosby, Trey Hendrickson. Those guys are great pass rushers. Only one of them's been in a Super Bowl, and he lost, and that was Hendrickson. But to me, and they leave out stuff about running backs who've helped transform franchises when they're paired with a quarterback, like the Titans were, like the Oilers were with Earl Campbell and Dan Pastorini, and like we've seen the Titans multiple times with Tannehill and Derrick Henry. And so that's why I think that they will draft Jeremiah Love, and if they don't, the cheering will be so loud in Houston, Jacksonville, and Indianapolis, you guys will be able to hear it in Nashville.
I understand. I mean, Nick asked me earlier if it's between Bain and Love. You know, I basically copped out and said I'd be fine with either one. But I certainly, as we've talked about, you get a playmaker for Cam Ward with Love at four. That's only going to be a good thing. My question would be then, if you did that at four, at 35, are you still looking at offense? Because I would, John. If the right receiver's there at 35, I'm taking him.
He needs a receiver. He needs a running back. And if they pass up David Bailey from Texas Tech for Reuben Bain, I think they'd be making a big mistake because Bailey gets off the ball faster than any pass rusher in this draft. And I've watched him, and that kid is unbelievable, plays hard all the time, is a great guy. But how many games do pass rushers win? How many games has Myles Garrett won as a pass rusher? Has he scored touchdowns? What's he done? He's not like J.J. Watt catching five touchdown passes in one season. And I don't like to think I'm old-fashioned. Saquon Barkley went to the Giants, and his record was terrible. Oh, then he gets to go to a new team, and it's a good team, and he wins a Super Bowl, which they left that out, of course.
That is right, absolutely. John, also looking at just elsewhere around the NFL, Dallas Cowboys, once again in the headlines, it seems to be George Pickens potentially won't see the offseason training camp, whatever that may be for the Cowboys. Should Cowboys fans be worried, or is this just something that come status quo being a Cowboys fan?
What the Cowboy fan should be worried about is how George Pickens acts and plays when he gets his big contract, whether he accepts the franchise tag, which is not going to happen. They'll work out a long-term agreement because it helps their salary cap to get a deal done. Problem is, Jackson Smith and Jigba, now Puka Nacua, all of a sudden, those guys are jumping up over $40 million. I would not pay George Pickens that kind of money based on his history unless he had a lot of bonuses in there. People are just ignoring what he did with the Steelers. And it was a lot of the things he did were egregious. There was one famous play where he's standing by the goal line, a back, I think it was a running back, running for a touchdown, needed to block the last guy, and he just stood there and let the guy get tackled, and they ran it over and over and over. And I've always wondered what was he thinking about that? But you know, if it if it hurts the Cowboys, I'm all for it.
And then also to a few draft prospects, one of them in particular, Clemson's quarterback, Avion Terrell, obviously is projected first-round talent, but had a little bit of a hamstring issue. Should that be a concern for his draft stock, and could that be a potential maybe second-round gift to some teams in the NFL?
Nick, I don't think there's any injury unless it's your back, because the miracles of modern medicine, what the teams have as far as rehab experts, facilities, medicine, everything you need, a hamstring will heal if you give it enough time to heal and you handle it correctly. Even ACLs, which used to be, oh my God, his career's over, he tore his, they didn't call it ACL, anterior cruciate ligament, and then it got to be like, you know, FBI. We used it so much, everybody knew what it was. So I don't think there's any injury unless it's long-term.
And then Sean McVay said, I believe it was at the owners' meetings today, about, you know, weighing the opportunity of Kirk Cousins as a backup, considered trading Davante Adams at the time. What are your thoughts on just that potentially happening?
Well, if I'm Kirk Cousins and I want to be a chance to go to the Super Bowl and not play, then I'm going to look for a team like that. Plus, it could extend my career. And Matthew Stafford is going to be, or is 38. But the way he plays, a pocket passer, his accuracy and arm strength do not seem to have debilitated at all. He throws as pretty a ball as anybody in football. You may have to sign two contracts before you get a chance to play. And Cousins is almost as, or might be, as old as Stafford is. If I'm Cousins, I'm calling Arizona. And I'm saying, you need a quarterback. Give me a chance to compete with Jacoby Brissett. And on a one-year deal, Cousins gets a chance to play at some point. He looks good. Cardinals are bad. They get a quarterback next year. Makes him a more attractive free agent.
John McClain is with us here on the program. You told us a story about Bud Adams in the bathroom at the owners' meetings. Are there any others that stand out to you?
Boy, you caught me off guard because that.
I know, I should have given you a heads up. I'm sorry.
That one was involving me. I'm sure I could think of a lot of them, but not straight off the top of my head like that.
Did you, by the time the owners' meetings came around in, I guess, 95 or 96, when had word gotten out that he was moving the team?
I started going, I think, to the owners' meetings in 85. And Bud had tried to get a new stadium. People here didn't take him seriously because when he threatened to move to Jacksonville unless the Astrodome was expanded by 7,500 seats, which they did, people raised all kind of hell about it because it was Bud. And then when Bud got on the finance committee, and every deal an owner got from a city, whether it was a practice facility or a stadium, those things came by his desk, and he had the worst lease in the league. The Astros were his landlord. The Astros did a terrible job. They couldn't tailgate. The field was in terrible shape. So, you know, he wanted a better lease, or he wanted a new stadium. And we started to get rumblings of it in 19 after the 93 season when they went 12-4 and had the best defense in the NFL, coached by Buddy Ryan. You talk about bad timing. They went from 12-4 to 2-14, biggest one-season drop in history at the time. But that's how they ended up getting Jeff Fisher, who turned out to be great for the organization.
John, great stuff as always. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
And by the way, I thought you were paying Nick $350. That must have been a joke.
Yeah.
That's why Joe's not here today.
Something like that.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. John McClain joins us every Monday at 2 o'clock. I pulled up the stick to the model, you know, to do like a mock draft or whatever.
Yeah.
And it offered me some trades with the Titans. And I don't think any of these would ever happen, but they were intriguing enough that I kind of wanted to throw them by you.
Okay.
When we come back, because when I saw them, I'm like, interesting. And this is all post-free agency, too. We'll do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe with Nick in for Big Joe today, 102.5 The Game.